kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Splendid. I have a title again, I believe the Lord's given us to talk about today. And our title for our teaching is Honesty is Essential with Regard to Faith. Honesty is essential with regard to faith. And I'm going to start off this with Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 20. And here we see something quite challenging that God reveals that he doesn't like with regard to hindrances to our faith. And we're calling this Honesty is Essential with Regard to Faith. Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 20. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Now, I've started off with this because what we see there, seven things that are an abomination to God, they are things that we encounter in our life and in our walk as Christians, and at times are tempted to fall into the trap of these things. And why am I mentioning this? Because our faith has much to do with our confession, and that it lines up with God's word and will. And what is recorded here is completely contrary to faith, confession, and belief. He says seven things are an abomination to him. He starts off with a proud look. In other words, you are proud in heart and attitude. And we know that God is humbling us in this hour. We have to have those bowed knees in his presence constantly if he's going to work on our behalf, because we know that pride is the devil's problem. He fell from his estate, his privilege that he had with God in the heavens in glory, because he thought he could be God. And he thought he could get away with it, and a third of the angels actually believed that he could do it. And he looked at his own self, he looked at his pride, and his pride caused him to fall from the very presence of Almighty God. And that is what he is now eternally afflicted with. And being the God of this world, blinding the eyes of many, he inflicts the same problem that he had, he places upon man as well. That is why pride is, it causes so much problem and havoc in the world, in politics, in family, in commerce. It's everywhere. It is a curse. And it is a spiritual cancer to professing believers. And this is why God has to deal with this in the manner that he does. And he deals with a lot of this pride, allowing us to go through trials and tribulations in which we get delivered from this, and our deliverance is actually bowing the knee. It is acknowledging that we have this problem. Because if we don't deal with this, it is going to be such a hindrance to our faith and faith working. And he says, lying tongues. Well, we've all lied. We've all fabricated truth. We've all held back the truth. And so again, God is working with this. But you see, if pride is there, pride holds all the rest of what God speaks about here. Hands that shed innocent blood. It's held because of pride. A heart that devises wicked plans. Why? Because of a proud heart, a proud look. Feet that are swift in running to evil. Why? Because of pride. A false witness who speaks lies. Why? Because of pride. And one who sows discord among brethren. Why? Because of pride. You see, we have to be also in faith with regard to our shortcomings. And with our shortcomings, they manifest to the surface very often when God allows us to go through trials. This is why I keep emphasizing that we count it all joy when we go through these trials, as much as they hurt, because it's working deliverance in us. It's revealing what is there within us that has to be removed, that has to be delivered, changed. And when we come through it, and when God works that healing, that change within us, then we find we have a faith that believes, that trusts. We have a faith that it can stand upon the promises of God's word, knowing that when we pray, God hears the prayer of a righteous man, because it avails much. God wants you to know that what you pray, what you believe in the word of God, he will answer. He's not going to have this hit and miss with our faith that sadly has been in the past. And of course, he knows we're growing up, we're maturing. Of course we are, and that is the mercy and grace of God. But there's coming a time now where he's not going to have this any longer, because he has provided for this pride that we're getting delivered from. He has provided that through the atonement. We are without excuse. And he will not have this pride and haughtiness with us. He will not have us reacting when we hear something that we don't agree with or affects us or even has our name and address on it. Instead of reacting, we act in faith. And there's the difference. Remember the teaching I gave some months ago on that? So you see, God deals with these shortcomings where we're not in faith or we are wavering. And where we're not in faith or where we're wavering, we have to seek God and find out why. And this is where it requires honesty. It's no good confessing the promises of God's word if you are wavering or if you don't really believe, because what you are actually portraying is lies. It's deception. And we've already read it to you, what God hates. You see, honesty is being free from deceit. That's what it means. It's being sincere. It's being truthful. Our lives should be marked by our integrity. Our lives should be marked by our honesty with faith. And it's important for our standing and our relationship with God, you see. And this is why God deals with us in the way that he does. We think we're honest until God allows us at times to go through a trial, or when we find that we're not in faith as we should be. And we know when we're not in faith as we should be because we turn to the arm of the flesh. And there is the problem. And where we are dishonest is that when we turn to the arm of the flesh, we try to make it a miracle. We try to make it a blessing. In other words, we're mixing our unbelief with the promises of God's word, and we're trying to give God all the glory. Who are we kidding apart from ourselves? And it is dishonest in the house of God. Now, nobody beats anybody over the head if you go to the arm of the flesh. Let's take the healing question, because that's very often the one that comes up. When a trial comes along, we know where our faith is. We're either in faith for the healing or we're not. And we know if we're not, because we go to the arm of the flesh. We go to the doctors, or we call the medics, or we go to hospital. Okay. Fine. That is between you and God. God is working something within you. And that's why we get in prayer and we pray one for another, that their faith may fail not, that they will come to that place where they can trust God for their healing. They can trust God in the finances. They can trust God in all those areas that we face each day. But if we're not in faith, then stop trying to make it a miracle. Stop trying to say, this was God. God created, he worked a miracle in my life. No, it wasn't. It was the drugs. It was the doctors. It was the medics that worked on your behalf. And God had mercy and he spared you. And what is wrong, brothers and sisters, is when we knock these societies, when we knock the medical science, when we knock the nurses and doctors, and we come against them. Oh, they are of the enemy. That is occult. It's wrong, because you may not be alive had it been for them. God working through them. And that is the point. And we should not go down that road criticizing the things of the world. Remember, the scriptures tell us that God pours rain on the just and the unjust. And sometimes we've had to go down the road of the unjust. And yet God has still poured rain. And this is a big problem that goes on at times in the faith camp. And this is why God has had to judge like he has done at times. Because we have been critical. Jesus was never critical of those who trusted in the arm of the flesh. I'm reminded of the woman that had the issue of blood, where she sought the physicians all those years. Well, Jesus healed her. He didn't hit her over the head and say, well, what were you doing going all these years, spending all that money on the physicians when you could have trusted God? No, he didn't enter into that. It was her day, her hour to be healed. And God had mercy. The same as God has mercy on you and me. But we're not always honest with regard to that, and we sin with our tongues. We need to keep silent. And if a brother or sister, it exposes unbelief through a trial, then we know what to do. And James tells us that we are to pray one for another, that we pray that their faith will fail not. I thank God for saints who pray for me, where I have missed it at times. And why does God allow this to happen? Why does he let the hedge down at times around our lives? Because he's working honesty in us. He's dealing with that pride that hinders this. Because it's hindering our faith in embracing and believing and claiming and experiencing the promises of God's word. Brothers and sisters, I know this is hard, but our Father loves us. And this is why he speaks to us in the way that he does, because he wants us delivered. This is not rocket science. We make it hard for ourselves. Well, this can't be in my life. After all, I'm a Christian. I've been walking 10, 20 years with God. Oh yes, he's still working with us. He's still getting those knees bowed in his presence so that he can raise us up. He can get the devil off our back. The devil still has access into our lives, and these doors have got to be closed. And the only way it will be closed is when we are humble and we bow the knee and we are honest with God when we go into our closet before him. That is what he wants. And then we're going to find that we are not critical. We're not sinning with our tongues to the things of the world and what goes on. We know the world is in sin. We know the world is in blindness. We know the world walks in pride. We know the world lusts after power and money and so on. But there go I by the grace of God. And God has delivered you and I from all of that, the spirit of this age. But through our unbelief, through our weaknesses, through where our blindness, where we have not confessed as we should, we found ourselves, haven't we, at times, depending on the arm of the flesh, just like the world is. So what is the difference? How will they know then if we're Christian? Because we're walking like the world. We're doing the things like the world. Is that in your life? Is that in my life? I have to ask God those questions. I have to seek him. I have to wait before him. Lord, am I acting? Am I living like the world? Is there that separation in my life? Do the world see me as one who walks with Jesus? Do they see Jesus in my life? These are gut questions we have to ask before God and to be honest and wait on him for the answer. Why am I emphasizing this in such a way? Because time is so short, brothers and sisters. Let's turn to what Matthew 7, verse 16 says. Matthew 7 and verse 16. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a hand tree bears bad fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. So there we are. Sometimes we are blinded to what fruit we are producing until God opens our eyes. And sometimes he opens our eyes by those trials that we have to go through. Because those trials reveal where we are. The trials reveal what is in the heart. You see, we have shown you over the years that sin lies in the heart of man. And if there's sin, sin is unbelief. That's what it means. Because Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So there's the problem. If it lies in the heart, it will lie in the mind, in your thinking, and it will come out in your confession. And that is what God is changing. And that is why we stay with the deeper life, because the deeper life teaching is delivering us from all of this, so that we can walk in this honesty before Almighty God. Because it's all about confession. It's what comes out of our mouth. And so here Matthew 7:16 tells us that we are known by our fruits. Even the Apostle Paul took this one very seriously in his life. He was a man that searched his heart. He was a man that desired to walk honestly and upright before God and before the churches. And we get a glimpse of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21. Here it's speaking about where they had a collection for the saints in Judea. And Titus was the one who was going to give this collection. Again, they're helping one another out. And the Apostle Paul is very involved in this. And look at in verse 21, it says, providing honourable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. In other words, being honourable, being honest, being upright. Because we're not only doing this in the sight of Almighty God, but we're doing it as a witness in the world. And sometimes our witness is not very good. Our witness is like the world lives. And this is what God is delivering us from. And believe me, he knows how to do it, because we are set apart unto him. We are his peculiar treasure. We are his family. We are representatives of him. And brothers and sisters, God's doing this as much with me as he is with you and all those that love him and love his appearing and getting ready for the rapture. Trust me, he's doing this. It's because he loves us. What does it say in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15? I've got quite a few scriptures here now to really glean from with regard to this. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there we are. He says we have to be diligent about this, to present ourselves approved by God. God wants you approved. He wants approval. For the very reason is because you are still in the world, and the world watches you. Your families watch you. But not only that, it's also essential for our fellowship with one another. For example, in Colossians 3 and verse 9, Colossians 3 and verse 9, he says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So it means that we're to divest. It's not talking about two natures here. It's talking about that there is a lower nature in that sense. And it means that you can start to walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. And we're warned, aren't we, in Romans 8, if you start to walk in the flesh, then you will eventually die. And this is what sadly happens to Christians who backslide. So we need to be renewed by the Spirit. And how does God renew? Well, he's doing it today. He's doing it right now as we come together in fellowship, as we take on board what God is saying and we take it before him in prayer and intercession. This is how he continually renews us. The idea of renewing means you're kept constantly in the presence of Almighty God 24/7. And that's what the Christian walk is about. You see, there are a lot of professing Christians who are in and out of God's presence. They're in his presence for a while because they feel spiritual, or they went to a wonderful meeting, or they heard a great sermon and it just lasts for a couple of days, and then they start to backslide again and they falling into sin, and then they come back to God again. There are a lot of Christians who are like that. You were like that once. God isn't going to have that of us. And he's showing us exactly how we stay in his presence 24/7 because we're honest. We're honest about ourselves. We've had our eyes open that we are wretched, miserable. We're rotten to the core. We are what we are by the mercy and grace of God. There's nothing in me that God saw that was any good. Only rottenness, filth. But he had mercy on me. Brothers and sisters, we've got to get this one right. We really have. The days of haughtiness and pride is over. Because time is so short. And you are going to experience the love of the Father through this like you have never experienced before. You will know God is with you. You will know when you pray. You will know when you minister to the sick and you lay hands on them and heal them. You will know the Father is doing this through you. Because you have got out of the way. This is why demons try to keep us bound and oppressed. Demons stop Christians from maturing and growing in the Lord. That is why this teaching is deliverance to us. This is why it is the deeper life. Because it's setting us free. And freedom comes in honesty. And you start first. Before Almighty God. After all, he knows us better than we know ourselves. We stand naked before him. He knows all our blemishes and spots and weak points and everything. He knows. He knows. And I have found by being honest, giving time before him, laying it at the foot of his feet, it's like those massive burdens are just lifted from your shoulder. And he raises you up, not in that pride and that arrogance that you've confessed. He raises you up in the love and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 25. Ephesians 4, 22 to 25, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you may put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And he speaks about anger and all that sort of thing as well. So there we are. That speaks of our fellowship, our unity together in the body of Christ. So I desire to put those things away. I want to be delivered from those things because of I'm in fellowship with my brothers and sisters. I don't want them affected by these problems that I'm overcoming. Because these weaknesses in my life affect the body of Christ. They affect my brother and sister. Have you ever thought about that? And this is why we can get delivered with this. And it starts when we are honest before God. And this is what builds the true unity and oneness and fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, brothers and sisters, this is what's going to empower us as the body of Christ for the greater works. I know I spoke earlier in this teaching about our words, but our words gives it away. What does it say in James chapter 1 verse 26? James chapter 1 verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. In other words, he's talking about the faith. But listen to what it says. It says they deceive their own hearts. So what he's actually saying there is what you are saying, which is sin, you actually believe God is anointing your words. There is the deception. I've heard Christians who believe that what they are saying that comes out of their mouth, they believe that is God. But it isn't. They're deceived by the lies that come out of their mouth, their pride. And you know, you've got men in pulpits who have that problem in their preaching and honestly believe that what they say is of God. Is revelation from God. That is why we need to be so very careful when we say, thus saith the Lord, or the Lord said to me, the Lord told me this, or whatever it is. I've heard so many Christians who just rattle it off, who have no godly fear in what they're saying when they say, the Lord showed me this, and the Lord told me that, or whatever. What are they going to do when they stand before God on that day and God says to them, I didn't say that to you. You said that in your pride, in your blindness. That is why they stoned prophets in the Old Testament if they did not prophesy according to the will of God. And it was tested. That's why we have to test these things, brothers and sisters. Our words give it away. Now, God is merciful because he helps us. And here it is. James chapter 3 verse 17. James chapter 3 verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. There we go. You see, if we're honest, we bow that knee and we get the enemy off our back, then he says, what will come from heaven to you is God's wisdom. That is from above. And he says, what he's going to give you is pure. It's going to be peaceable. In other words, you're not causing confusion, dissension. You're not argumentative. He says you're also going to be gentle, willing to yield. Willing to yield to who? To truth, to the word of God, and not keep resisting it all the time or arguing over the word of God. This is what he says he will do. Full of mercy and good fruits. In other words, you're loving, you're merciful, you're gentle, you're long-suffering. You'll go that extra mile, even with your enemies. Without partiality, without hypocrisy. And there it is. We've all been hypocrites at times. We've all missed it. A mile off. And why do we? Because we're not honest before God. We don't bring it out before him. Our weakness, our problems, and so on. We all like to give a good example. We all like to come over well. We all act at times because we don't want to be rejected by people, and we wear those masks, but God's not going to have it. He's removing them and he's making us honest in the house of God. You see, an overcomer will be blessed. And how do we know this? Because he said, blessed are the pure in heart. And what is the promise? For they will see God. That's what he says in Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And for God to work this purity in our hearts, it requires deliverance. And how does he do this? Yes, your trials, your tribulations, what he allows you to go through, because he's working purity of heart for the very purpose that you will confidently see him and stand before him when he calls you into his presence. Isn't it going to be worth it, brothers and sisters? Of course it is, because he loves us. That's why, as I bring this to a conclusion, we should always be honest. And Proverbs has a lot to say about this. Let's turn to Proverbs now and let's start glean some of these things from it. Proverbs 14 and verse 15. Proverbs 14 and verse 15. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. Wow, look at that. My goodness me, we were that once. And look what the mercy and grace of God has done. He says the simple believes every word. That's why he doesn't want us children being simple. He wants us to mature and to grow up so that we consider all of these things. Because he says the prudent considers well his steps. When we were first saved, we weren't aware of our steps. We just did our own thing and what we liked to do and so on, until God started to work with us. And we began to realize that our steps have to be ordered by the Lord, walking with Almighty God. And we start to learn the fear of God, because as a wise man fears and departs from evil. That's what it does. A wise person starts to depart from evil, the weaknesses in our life. But he says a fool rages and is self-confident. In other words, I have got it under control. I don't need my life controlled by God. I'm well able to do the right thing. I've had a good education. I have had a good family. I am intelligent. I know what I'm doing. Does it sound familiar? Of course it does. It's like the world lives. It's how education teaches you. But we are hopeless without God. That's the whole point. What does Proverbs 12:22 tell us? Proverbs 12, verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. And that is why God is speaking to us today like he is. I know this is difficult. I know it's got all our name and address on it, but it's because he loves us. And he's going to have honesty out of our life. Why? Because it says here in verse 22, it gives him delight. He's delighted in this. In other words, he's saying, at last you are listening. At last you are taking this on board. You see. And if we love God, we want to be a delight to him. I want to delight my Heavenly Father. It's the only way I can give back to him, if there's anything I can give to him. We give back to him a pure, undefiled faith that believes. In other words, he's cleaning up our faith. Our faith has to be holy as he is holy. And that's why it doesn't always work. You say, well, I've confessed, I've stood on the promises of God's word, I've been in prayer, I've done fasting, and yet it still happened. What was the problem? Problem was you weren't honest. You're not dealing with those things that you know God is trying to highlight in your life. You're pushing it under the carpet, and we all do it. I know sometimes it can be so painful. It can be so deep. It's something that you don't want to be reminded of. It's a thing of the past, the pain of it. But if God is highlighting something in your life, then he's not going to torment you. He's doing it for the very reason to deliver you. You may still be holding unforgiveness of past experiences that are so painful. But God said it's there and it comes out. And he has to deliver us from these things. He's delivering us from a lot of anxiety and worry and fear. A lot of that has manifested in FGA through this COVID crisis. Did you know that? God's been manifesting a lot of this. And I've seen a lot of this and being able to have the privilege to get in prayer and intercession. Why is he delivering us from this? Because we're told that if there's fear, anxiety and worry, it opens the door to depression. And that's what he's closing the door to. Because these make us compromise. They make us believe a lie. They make us run away from the truth. But you see, God's not going to get us to run away. You see, we've learnt long enough, haven't we? There's nowhere to run away to anyway. Because you take it wherever you go. So it's best just to stay, remain, and God will bring us through. Because it's those who endure to the end will be saved. Hallelujah. What a loving Father we have, who never gives up on us. He continues to work day and night with us. And so patient and so long-suffering, isn't he? What does it say in Proverbs 21, verse 3? Proverbs 21, verse 3. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And we all try to sacrifice, don't we, at times? Well, I'll devote the day to the Lord. I'll be in the Word and in prayer, and, you know, God will answer, He'll answer my prayer and whatever. And I'm not saying that that could not be. But I know some Christians who are religious and they like to sacrifice. They think by doing these sacrificial things, they're going to be accepted before God, and they're not. Because it's not honesty. It's not confessing real sin. And so he says to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable. In other words, you're righteous. You have been saved by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Thank God he was righteous, which makes us acceptable in his righteousness before Almighty God. It means, in other words, he is right. He is upright. He's not wrong. There's no sin in him. There's no dishonesty in him. And that is how God sees you and I through Jesus Christ. And that is justice. Righteousness, honesty is true justice. This is why, sadly, we need to pray for our courts, law, judges, lawyers, solicitors. Sadly, there's a lot of corruption coming into all of that now, because so much of it is motivated by money, greed. And that's why those who have a lot of money can get off scot-free, because they have a way of bribing. But the Lord knows. It was in Jesus' time, and it's still with us today. Nothing changes. There's nothing new under the sun. But your prayers, your intercessions can change this. And I'm going to tell you something. God's mercy is still on this country when you compare us with other nations around the world. With the things that we're hearing now, with lockdowns and how they're trying to suppress the people through this COVID. We've fared pretty well in comparison to some other countries. And do you know why? Because we pray for our governments. We pray for our leaders. We pray for the Prime Minister. All of this so that God will have mercy. We pray that they will have the fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom. They are often the prayers that I pray. That there can still be a glimpse in this country of God-fearing people in government. That's why. Because we know when the church is gone, is taken, all of that is going to dramatically change. This is why I say our prayers keep it back at bay. They push back the powers of darkness. They keep them bound, fettered. This is what it means when it says in the word, what you bind on earth, you bind in heaven. What you loosen on earth, you loosen in heaven. You are binding them. You are fettering the powers of darkness. God has given you the keys to the kingdom. He has given you the authority to put those handcuffs on the powers of darkness. The same as when they come and they arrest you, they put handcuffs on you. What is that for? To fetter you, to make you inactive, so that you can't run away or retaliate or kick out. That's what they do. That's what police are trained for. Well, take that over now into the spiritual, brothers and sisters. That is what your warfare does in the heavens. And Christ achieved that for us when he rose from the dead. And he took dominion from the enemy. And he's now given that to his church, the body of Christ, the rock that you stand on. He's given you that authority in his name, and he expects you to do it. He's not going to get the devil off your back. He's going to tell you, I did this for you. I've given you authority in my name. Now get him off your back. In Jesus' name. And he will. And he will. But. If there's dishonesty in you, if there is unconfessed sin in you, then the devil has a hold in your life. Mark my words. And God has to deliver us. It has to take a trial to get you delivered so that your prayers, your warfare can become effective before Almighty God. You see, brothers and sisters, we don't play around with this. This is very important, what I'm talking about. You don't have a go at warring against the enemy. He has power. He is more cunning and crafty than ever you are or I am or whatever. And so there is a respect for authority in the spiritual realm. Even the Archangel Michael rebuking the enemy, he said, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." He even showed authority and respect. Even the power he had, that warring angel of God. So how much more we who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Why am I stressing this? Because all of this is a hedge of protection. It protects us. Proverbs 28:18. Proverbs 28:18. Whoever walks blamelessly will be saved, but he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fall. And there we are. So God is working so that we walk blamelessly before him and each other. But the perverse will suddenly fall. And you know, sadly, that's happened to some professing Christians because they were not walking blamelessly before God. And so God is placing that hedge of protection around us to preserve us in this war. And finally, our faith will be active if we walk upright in all of this. And let's end with 1 John 3:18-19. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. There we are. John hits the nail right on the head here. Exactly what I've been talking about here this morning. It's our hearts. And that is why we have to walk daily in covenant and fellowship with God, because it's about our hearts, because our hearts can deceive ourselves so easily. And it's for the purpose that whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments. We do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. So it's that love. Our faith works by love. And when we're honest, we confess before Almighty God that bestows all the power of God, what he is, who he is, his nature, it flows through us to one another, to the body of Christ, to our neighbour, even to our enemies as well. This is what it does, brothers and sisters. You know, this is our real deliverance, without doubt. We've all tried things, we've all had hands laid on us at times and trying to cast out demons, and I'm not saying that that doesn't have a place. And I'm not saying that God has not done this, but if we really want to know deliverance, this is it. This is what he's saying. This is where your life dramatically changes with Almighty God. But it will only come to those who bow the knee in God's presence and who are completely, utterly, brutally honest before him, hiding nothing, bringing everything out in the light, because he knows, and you cannot hide from him. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your blessing, how you speak to us. Lord, we're just aware of even the healing now taking place as we've heard this word, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit's ministry, how he just comes and takes over. Lord, we are so privileged that you have drawn us into your presence, that we can hear something like this. You're truly saving us. You're truly protecting us. You're bringing us out of this world. You're preparing us for eternity to be with you forever. But Lord, we know because you are holy, we also are being made holy as well. And you've shown us how to do this. And I pray that all of us will not only be hearers, but doers of this word. For we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Let him in constancy follow.